And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, and I hope everybody's having a wonderful day out there. I know we've got some crazy politics going on in our country, but you know, that doesn't stop us from having the joy of the Lord. This joy we have, the world didn't give it. The Congress didn't give it. The Democrats, the Republicans didn't give it. The world didn't give it, and the world cannot take it away. So we should say like David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My mouth shall make its boast in the Lord. So we are just grateful and glad to be Christians and grateful to God to live in the freest, most prosperous nation on earth. And of course, doing everything in our power through prayer and engagement to make sure that America remains the freest, most prosperous nation on earth, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson, here on The Awakening on American Family Radio, the greatest network on earth. That's my confession, and I'm sticking with it, folks. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us. We really do appreciate it. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. And by the way, don't forget that we can be heard on podcast. You can go to our website, afr.net, and on the homepage, you will see podcasts listed, this program included, and you can click on that anytime to go back and hear any program that you've missed, or maybe we were having a discussion, you couldn't hear the whole program and you want to hear more of it, and you want to come back and listen to it again, just go to the podcast and you can listen to the program in its entirety. It's archived there for you. So tell a friend, tell a neighbor if they miss a program that you think is particularly important or they want to get into it, but maybe they don't have the ability to listen when we're on live, but they want to hear it. Say, oh, well, that's not a problem. You can listen in the evening. You can listen in at any time. In fact, you can listen to the podcast while you're in your car, even though the program itself is over. So just want to encourage you all to use that because those podcasts are very, very important for us to help understand how much our listeners are engaging. So don't hesitate to use them to your benefit and to the benefit of others that you want to get involved in the program. Well, folks, this is one of those days. I almost always know exactly where I'm going to begin, but this is one of those days I was on the horns of a dilemma exactly how to start the program in terms of the first issue to bring up. Because on the one hand, I can bring up the symptom, which is horrific and horrendous. On the other hand, I could start talking about what I consider to be the underlying problem or a significant part of it. So I finally decided that I'm going to stick with starting the program with the horrific, horrendous symptom first. Now, folks, hold on to your hats because I want you to listen to what Adam Schiff is saying in this little clip we're going to share for you, because here again, it's horrendous, it's horrific, and I don't think anybody is paying attention to the implications of what this man is saying. But to me, he's trying to impeach, he's trying to get rid of President Donald Trump, and I think Adam Schiff may be one of the most dangerous people to this republic that we've seen on the public stage in a long, long time. And this clip, what he expresses here is part of the reason for that, maybe the main reason for it. Just take a listen to this.
The House did not take this extraordinary step lightly. As we will discuss, impeachment exists for cases in which the conduct of the president rises beyond mere policy disputes to be decided otherwise and without urgency at the ballot box. Instead, we are here today to consider a much more grave matter, and that is an attempt to use the powers of the presidency to cheat in an election. For precisely this reason, the president's misconduct cannot be decided at the ballot box, for we cannot be assured that the vote will be fairly won.
Now, folks, just pause a minute and think about what he is saying. And he said this before. I wanted you to hear it from his own confused and wicked mouth. What he actually is saying is the election doesn't matter. Can you interpret it any other way? The election doesn't matter. Because if Donald Trump is on the ballot, his victory cannot be accepted as legitimate. I mean, that's what he's saying. And he's so, and therefore, he is saying, in effect, without saying it explicitly, his election in 2016 was not legitimate. They're right back to that. Was not legitimate. But this is even worse, because he's president now. So they can say that, but he is president. This is even worse. They're saying that the upcoming election, the 2020 election, cannot be trusted as a legitimate election a year almost before it happens. It cannot be trusted as a legitimate election, and therefore, Donald Trump must be removed now, because no election that he's in would be fair. Folks, I have not heard anybody really focus in on that. Now, maybe it's because it's Adam Schiff and they think he's just so stupid that you just don't take the dumb things he says seriously. Maybe that's it. Or maybe people are really afraid to grapple with the implications of what he's saying. Now, I've said this before, and it's come back again because he continues to make the statement. So let me understand the implications of this. If you cannot successfully remove him from office, and he runs and wins in 2020 victoriously, he runs victoriously and wins in 2020, what exactly is your recourse? What are you telling us? I mean, look, I don't want to go too far with this and extrapolate beyond where it seems appropriate, but if you're telling me he shouldn't be in office, he must be removed, and that the upcoming election would not be legitimate if he runs and wins, I don't know where you leave us, except with a sort of subtle call for violence. Now, I'm not calling for violence. You know, you all have heard me say repeatedly, we've got plenty of constitutional mechanisms to resolve our issues. We need to register. We need to vote. We need to engage. We need to get involved. We don't even need to be talking about violence or talking about any kind of upheaval like that. What is he talking about? What is he getting at? Because when you question the legitimacy of an election, because the president had a conversation with Ukraine over what is clearly corrupt dealings by the Biden family. Folks, there's no question about it. Clearly corrupt. Clearly corrupt. I mean, we know Hunter Biden doesn't have the ability to do anything for Burisma that's worth $1 million a year, or his buddy. By the way, you know, he also had a partner who was getting $1 million a year. So they're pulling out $2 million a year. We know that Hunter Biden didn't have the financial bona fides and expertise to enter into a $1.5 billion investment deal with communist China. We know all that stuff is nothing but trafficking in access to the vice president, who had the Ukraine in his portfolio and communist China as well. I mean, come on, we all know that. So what's the alternative, Adam Schiff? Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
One of the framed pictures in my office is a photograph I took at Glacier National Park when I was a teenager. I've always wanted to go back and photograph this beautiful place with a better camera. Also wanted to go back so I could take a picture of the signs that the Park Service put up predicting that all the glaciers would be gone by 2020 due to climate change. In case you don't know, there are still glaciers at Glacier National Park. Yes, some have shrunk, but they certainly have not disappeared as predicted. Kyle Smith used this as one example of the problem with making specific predictions. Saying that sometime in this century we'll have an environmental disaster is much safer than saying it will happen in the next 10 years. He also provides some background to the story of glaciers in this park. The U.S. Geological Survey has been keeping track of the retreat of glaciers in Glacier National Park for some time. The scientists noted that the mean annual temperature has increased, so the glaciers will be gone someday in the next few decades. So that had Smith starting to look at past predictions. For example, a 1923 Associated Press report said glaciers would almost disappear in 25 years. That means they should have been gone by 1948. But there's a 1936 article that predicted that the glaciers would vanish within 25 years, so they should have been gone by 1961. And there's a 1952 AP report that explains that naturalists say that glaciers would be gone in 50 years, so we should have had no glaciers by 2002. By now, I think you can get the idea. All of these past predictions were wrong, but that did not stop others from making other predictions. Someday the glaciers may be gone, but they haven't left yet. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious, what is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. The impeachment of President Trump speeds towards his full acquittal. There's open tension between the two leaders of the impeachment effort. A CNN analyst reveals a secret conversation, then admits he made it all up. Trump will be the first president to speak in person at the March for Life. And just how bad is Joe Biden's position on immigration? Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, that is symptomatic. That kind of language is symptomatic of a deeper problem, which is why I always say we are not witnessing business as usual. We are not witnessing a mere debate between Republicans and Democrats and center-left and center-right. And, you know, you debate and you discuss and you compromise because we're basically all on essentially the same page. We want the best for our country. We want to preserve our way of life. We want a free market economy. We want personal responsibility and individual liberty to be the primary values by which we govern ourselves. We want faith in God and to be an important source of virtue for free people. I mean, we're all basically in agreement. No, that's no longer the case. We now have two diametrically opposed worldviews competing for dominance in this country. One that preserves the foundational principles upon which this nation was based, and another that wants to create for us a secularist, socialist, atheist, godless, morally relativistic, statist, totalitarian culture and government. And that's where the left is today. That's what they're trying to do. And the fact that they would tell us that an election doesn't matter, as far as I'm concerned, is conclusive proof that they have no interest whatsoever in preserving the freedom of the American people. No interest whatsoever in that, because the vote we took was an expression of our freedom, and anybody who's got a modicum of common sense knows that President Trump won the election because he outworked Hillary Clinton. He was a better candidate than Hillary Clinton. He was more articulate and passionate and mobilized his people better than Hillary Clinton. And so he won. And his ideas were better. People liked the things he had to say better than they liked the things she had to say. And he won. That's why he won. He didn't win because of Russian interference, as the special counsel has already told us. He didn't win because of Ukrainian interference. And this man is not stupid. I believe he's a graduate of the Sloan School of Business, which is, my understanding, one of the toughest business schools in the country, very heavily based upon metrics, mathematical metrics, and very tangible, substantive ways of looking at and measuring the success of business. I mean, this man's no fool. And it's to think that he is going to throw away everything he's building in some dumb conversation with the president of Ukraine, who himself, I mean, compared to President Trump, how much power does the president of Ukraine have compared to President Trump? I mean, come on, that's like comparing, a professional basketball player making several million dollars a year to a kid in the yard playing marbles. I mean, there's no comparison. And you think the president turns to him? This is his savior. This is the guy who's going to help him win the election. I mean, it's preposterous. And yet this is what we're told we're supposed to believe, and this is the basis upon which we're supposed to get rid of a president. Folks, this is the basis upon which we're told it's got to be done because with him in office, the election of 2020 won't be legitimate and cannot be trusted. When you start telling the American people that elections aren't legitimate, you are sowing the seeds of chaos in ways so profound I can't even begin to articulate them. It's just, to me, it is beyond the pale, folks, to think that he would fix his mouth to say such things. But the question, of course, becomes, why is he saying them? And folks, I think this is where we get back to not just the symptoms, but the underlying cause. There's an article that confirmed everything we know, but it's chilling when you read it. It confirmed everything we know about higher education today. Our children are being brainwashed in the nth degree by a bunch of people who have a political agenda that is contrary to everything we believe in. They support the unfettered abortion of our children. They support redefining gender. They support same-sex marriage. They support statism and the state control over everything and everybody as opposed to individual liberty. They support racial division and balkanization to keep us at each other and keep the American people divided and competing and fighting. They support socialism and Marxism and communism because they think that capitalism is somehow a bad thing. It's an evil thing. Well, an article in Breitbart said today, a study, by the way, folks, a really big study using a sample of 12,372 university professors. That is a big, big sample. You know, samples can be done with as few as 1,000, almost 13,000 professors. You know what they found? These professors on a whole variety of disciplines give to Democrat candidates 95-1. 95-1. Folks, 95-1. What does that tell you? It tells you our universities are not places of education. They're places of indoctrination. I mean, you've got, these people are, they're creating whole departments of diversity and paying people hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for the purpose of creating diversity when you don't have any diversity on a university campus among professors? It's a monolith. It's like they all belong to the same cult, and they all march in lockstep to the leadership of their ultimate master, in my view, Karl Marx. And look, so that's in terms of their giving, 95-1. And they found in terms of actual political registration, because remember, see here in Virginia, we don't have party registration in Virginia. In Virginia, you just register. You don't make a party declaration in Virginia. So therefore we have open primaries. You have to choose one or the other, but you can't walk in and say, well, I'm a Republican. No, you just walk in and say which ballot you want, because you can consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a constitutional party person, but you can take any ballot you want. You just only get one in the primary. So we have open primaries because we have non-political registration. So professors here in Virginia wouldn't necessarily be registered as Republicans because we don't have that. So you probably have a lower number than you should have. In fact, undoubtedly you do. But still, the study showed 48.4% of professors are registered Democrats as opposed to 5.7% registered Republicans. And what is that, folks? That's almost 10-1. 10-1. I mean, no wonder Adam Schiff is so crazy. Because for generations now, probably for about three generations, at least 60 years, or maybe two generations, this is what has been educating our people. And by the way, this is across the board. Nine disciplines they studied: anthropology, biology, chemistry, economics, English, mathematics, philosophy, psychology, and sociology. All showed these discrepancies, all of them. So it doesn't matter what discipline people are sending their children to study, they're being educated by left-wing activists. And by the way, anthropology was the worst. And you know probably why, because they're filling these kids' heads with a bunch of evolutionary nonsense. Well, you're descended from a monkey and a tadpole, and so if you act like a monkey, you act like a tadpole. No big deal. That's who your ancestors are. So they're even worse than the other disciplines. No, we are made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. But when you have people who reject that, guess what, folks? There are no standards to which they must adhere. Look, if there is no God, if there is no absolute morality, you just make up whatever you want. And this is what's brought us to a point where we got a bunch of people who have taught our kids, I don't blame the kids. Of course, they do need to wake up, but taught our kids that capitalism is evil and socialism is good. And Adam Schiff, as far as I'm concerned, has come from that ilk. Now look, I graduated from Harvard Law School, and folks, let me tell you something. If I had not become a Christian, if I had not understood the need, because I became a Christian right in the middle of my law school career. Had I not become a Christian, I probably would have drank the Kool-Aid and come out of there flaming liberal. Because I was already raised as a Democrat. That was what was all around me. But because of my faith in Jesus Christ and my respect for his word, I began to measure things against the word, and I found, oh my goodness, wait a minute. The politics to which many of the people I know have gravitated is completely anti-God and anti-Christian. Stand by. We'll go to the calls in a minute.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There was a boy in South Carolina by the name of Johnny Spence. When he was 13 years of age, he became a dropout. Like most other dropouts, Johnny found it tough sailing. While he didn't have many talents, he did have one. He had a talent for golf, and he used it. When he was 17, he was a pro at a country club. Everybody liked Johnny. And for a 17-year-old, Johnny made good money. Johnny was a faithful church member, and this meant that on Sunday he didn't show up for work until after church. One Sunday, the president of the club was waiting for him when he came to work, and with the president was the governor of South Carolina, the mayor of the town, and many other on the VIP list. When asked where he'd been, Johnny said he'd been to church. His superior remarked to Johnny something like this: "Well, you'll have to quit that or we'll find ourselves another pro. Being a church member is all right. I'm one myself, but don't let it interfere with business." So Johnny quit letting the church interfere with his business. Johnny soon became a golf instructor for some college co-eds. In fact, Johnny fell in love with one of the girls. They began to go to parties where drinks were served. Johnny's sweetheart began to criticize him because he refused to drink with the others. So to satisfy his sweetheart, Johnny began to drink at the parties. Things went real well for the seventh grade dropout. It wasn't long until Johnny Spence was making up to $5,000 some weeks. He also became not only a heavy drinker, but he went the whole route. Morphine, dope, you name it, he tried it. Once his wife and mother poured his whiskey down the drain. Johnny grabbed a shotgun and would have shot them, he said, had not an officer hit him on the head from behind. Soon they carried Johnny to a veterans hospital for help. When Johnny tried to end it all by slashing his wrist and commit suicide, a guard overpowered him. While Johnny was in the hospital, a chaplain came to see him. The chaplain told Johnny that the Galilean still loved him, wanted to help him, would forgive all that he had done. Some men from the country club where Johnny had worked, who were followers of the carpenter, came to visit him, pray with him, express concern for him. Soon Johnny was going to their meetings, and before long he was once again a follower of the Man of Galilee and a person with a new lease on life. Johnny Spence went on to tell his story wherever people would listen to him. Many groups wanted him to speak about his recovery, but some of those who wanted him to tell of his recovery didn't want him to mention the name of Christ in his story. They thought it was out of place to mention Christ outside of a church building. Funny thing about it, it was the same kind of people that helped get Johnny in the mess to start with. The only thing different from that point on is that Johnny Spence got wise. He didn't listen to those people anymore. You know, maybe one day, we'll all get wise.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
I want to try to get to the phones and get your calls in during this segment. 888-589-8840 is the number. Because I want to hear what you all think. This study was of tenured professors. When you drop down to assistant professors or people in the lower ranks, it is not as bad. And you know what that tells me? In order to get tenure, in order to get promoted, you've got to make sure that you meet the leftist litmus test. And if you don't, you're probably going to remain in an assistant professorship position or maybe never get tenure. And the second thing, folks, that as far as I'm concerned comes out of this for me is, you know, one of the most dangerous threats to the soul and eternal salvation of your children is the colleges and universities of our country. Now, that's a sad commentary, isn't it? But I based on everything we know, and then this study kind of confirming that, the most dangerous places to the soul and eternal salvation of our children is the colleges and universities of our country. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me as I've traveled and said, you know, Bishop Jackson, I raised my child to love God. I raised my child to believe the word and to and to live for God and go to church. They went away to college and came back a different person. Because all the peer pressure, all of the cultural norms that one is surrounded by that are contrary to the way you've been raised, if you've been raised in a Christian home, it just takes an extraordinary person to resist all that pressure. It really does. Because that the whole atmosphere is charged with it, and then you have to live in that. Your professors think that way. Your fellow students think that way. If you want to do well in school, you've got to think that way, pretty much. And before you know it, you are that way. And that's sad that the American educational institutions, instead of educating our children to be the best and the brightest in the world, is indoctrinating them to be secularists and socialists and atheists and moral relativists, seeking quote-unquote social justice instead of seeking justice. You know something, folks? See, justice has no modifier because justice is right. Social justice is a modifier of justice because what it means is we want what we want. And we've got a name for that, and we call that social justice. I mean, please, folks, give me a break. It's just 888-589-8840. Well, listen, on a brighter note, the president of the United States that they are now trying to overthrow will once again make history. He's made history in many ways, made history in declaring Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel and other things. I won't go through a list. But he's making history again. He is going to be the first president to actually attend the March for Life. The first president to actually attend it. Now, prior pro-life presidents would send a video, or maybe they did a live feed, I'm not sure. But they would appear on film. President Trump is going. God bless him for it. And they want to get rid of him. Oh, boy, talk about putting evil for good and good for evil. That's exactly what we're witnessing before our very eyes in this whole impeachment debacle. So let's go to your calls, folks. I don't want to hold you all up any longer. Let's see, we got Lee in Mississippi. Lee, welcome. Lee, are you there? You're on.
Hello. Adam Schiff has brought up in some of his hearings that he's been doing, a great concern for foreign interference in our elections. And conservatives should latch on to this while this issue is being talked about, because we do have foreign interference in our elections through illegal immigrants voting in our elections in certain states. And so one of the safeguards against foreign interference is the identification of voters and refreshing the voter rolls and registers and ensuring that the people on them are either alive or from this country.
Lee, that is an absolutely brilliant point. You are absolutely right. Before I let you go, let me ask you though: how do you interpret Schiff's comments that we can't wait until the election because we cannot trust that the outcome is fair or legitimate?
Well, the serious answer to that would be that he understands that overwhelmingly the president has support in the United States and by all appearances should easily should win the election in November. But tongue in cheek, I almost believe that Democrats, when you look at a map of the United States, every blue state on a Democrat's map is the United States, and every state that Trump won is Russia. And so when they say Russian interference in the election, they really mean it. They're sincere. They just believe that, like, here in Mississippi, we're Russian.
Okay, Lee, I got it. Thanks for the call. Yeah, well, they do feel, well, this would, they've called us a number of things, deplorables, people clinging to their Bibles and their guns and all of this stuff. So I take your point, Lee. Let's go to AW in Georgia. AW, welcome.
Yes. Hello.
You're on. Yes, you've got the mic, AW. Go right ahead.
Mr. Jackson, I've always found that there's the way to get something fixed is you gotta get in there and get busy doing something. There's gotta be a law.
Okay, we're getting a lot of interference with AW. Let's see, I think we've got time. Let's go to Larry in Illinois. Larry, welcome. Larry, you're on.
Hello, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
My boss in Korea was a retired gunnery sergeant, so I'm retired Army. I just had to get that in there. Thank you
well,
so much.
Thank you for your service, Larry.
Country,
I appreciate
Bishop.
It. Thank you.
Anyhow, I wanted to comment on what you said. They were saying that they had to get Trump out of office or the results of the election would be illegitimate. They're not just sowing seeds of discord. That's the seeds of anarchy. That's the seeds of rebellion. We already fought a war with this over 200 years ago over, you know, mm-hmm. representation. And, you know, my vote counts, your vote counts, and they're saying that the American people aren't smart enough to elect their own officials. And, you know, they better watch out, you know. It's going to cost them. It'll cost them in the ballot box this November.
Amen, Larry. I am hoping that they get swept out of office like a tidal wave because, here again, this stuff is beyond the pale. It really is. This is not normal political discourse in a free constitutional republic. This you're right. This is the kind of stuff that is trying to stoke anarchy and complete disregard of our legal and political system, which has stood us in good stead for 243 years, and suddenly it can't withstand Donald Trump. So they're going to declare his elections not legitimate, and therefore they have to remove him from office. And here again, they're not going to remove him from office, and I believe he is going to win re-election. So then what? What are they saying then? I just don't know what their alternative is. They're boxing themselves in, and I hope the American people understand how dangerous what they're doing is and will just absolutely reject them completely and totally and just throw them by the political wayside, leave them on the political dung heap, and to say, you know what, you're done, you are finished. I should say, leave them on the political trash heap. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on the Family Minute. Here's Dr. Kathy Altman.
I loved my patients, and so to see a woman struggling with an unwanted pregnancy was very emotional for me, and I wanted to help her, and that's why I felt so strongly about the importance of abortion and felt that it was really doing something wonderful for women by offering abortions, doing the best abortion I could, getting extra training so I could do them later and later. And it wasn't until I had my baby that somehow I made that baby-fetus connection, and suddenly the baby being unwanted was no longer enough justification for me to kill it. And that was the point where I realized I was killing human beings.
Hear more from Dr. Altman at familyminute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Blind Eyes Opened, a Christian documentary exposing the sex trafficking industry and highlighting survivors' transformations through Christ.
It's happening somewhere right now.
We oftentimes turn a blind eye.
Our children are being used for the commercial sex trade.
The United States of America is one of the largest consumers of human trafficking.
You have no idea what a sex trafficked victim's life is like.
At the Planned Parenthood facility where I work, so I was having them sign these consent forms, sometimes for their 16th, 17th abortion procedure.
Where is God in all of this? And God immediately replies, where are you?
Committed to ending the atrocities while showing Christ as the hope for all involved. More information is available at blindeyesopened.com. That's blindeyesopened.com. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's go right back to your calls. I want to hear what you all have to say about the goings-on in Washington and other things. Aaron wants to talk about colleges and left-leaning professors. Aaron from Mississippi, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. I just want to say I appreciate what you do. I listen to you and the rest of the AFR crew on a daily basis.
Thank you.
Drive a van for a living, so I got a lot of radio time under my belt here.
Good.
I just wanted to parallel with your point about our college-age children and high school-age and middle school-age children being attempted brainwashed in our educational system and everything. But it doesn't just stop there. A lot of our employers, especially our giant corporate employers, are also doing that same game, promoting the left-leaning people versus promoting our good Christian people. Like myself, I applied for a job, a management position with the company that I'm in. We're in 32 countries around the world. You know, it's a huge company. And the people I was applying against, they were one of the guys, if you understand, watch the videos and talk the talk and drink the drinks and party and carry on and hoop and holler and all that other kind of stuff. And then I go head-to-head with them in the interview process, make it all the way down to the very last interview process, and I got passed over by somebody who didn't even make it past the first interview process. And I was like, well, what gives? And, well, we just don't know if you're just a right fit, Aaron. I'm like, well, what are you talking about exactly? He's like, well, we just don't know if we want your projections being put on our location. Like, well, what projections are that? Well, I can't really go into detail with you about it. And I'm like, well, hold on now. If you're not going to give me a promotion, I'd kind of like to know why. And they never could give me a straight answer. But looking at where everything is at, you know, who I am, what I stand for, the music I listen to, the way I speak to people and everything else is not the same as everybody else. So I kind of feel like I'm being alienated about it. And I know that there's thousands of people across the country who are going in the same situation I'm in now.
Yep.
And it's very discouraging, very disheartening to know that at the age of 36, you may reach the top of your ladder and you can't go any further without switching careers.
All right, Aaron, listen, you've made a great point. I appreciate the call. This is something that I'm profoundly concerned about. In fact, I'm going to be attending a meeting with a group of people who are talking about this very thing and how to address it. The fact that we believe there's a hidden discrimination against Christians going on all over this country in the corporate world, but it's difficult to put one's finger on it. And people like you, Aaron, when you suspect things like that, have got to speak up. So I'm glad to have heard from you, Aaron. I'd like to hear more about your particular situation if you're able to talk about it. You can off the air, and you can get in touch with me at ewj@standamerica.us, because this is one of the issues we are profoundly concerned about. This is horrible that our corporate world has been so thoroughly corrupted that good, decent, hardworking Christians either don't get hired, don't get promoted, or even get fired because they don't like their perspective on life. You got to be pro-gay, you got to be pro-abortion, you got to be, you know, pro-socialism, yeah, whatever is the crazy ideological garbage that these people have bought into. But it comes back to how they've been educated. Okay, let's keep taking your calls. Let's go to, I want to get the next person in line. Let's just go to Samuel in Oklahoma. Samuel, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Samuel, you're on.
Semper Fi. I served in the Marines back in 2004, 2009.
Well, thank you for your service, man. Wonderful.
One thing I want to talk about, some of the things I've been hearing and one thing you've been talking about is some of these points that Adam Schiff has been coming up with about how Trump wants Biden out of office, that he's trying to get rid of a political opponent to gain advantage, and how the elections are so would be so unfair. And it's interesting how they've gone from point to point to point because they couldn't find anything that would stick. And Trump has been so open and honest with releasing a transcript,
yep,
showing that what he said, how he wants, he's asked him to do us as a nation a favor because he's trying to end corruption in the political world, and it's funny how people can so easily come up with so many stories. And
well, you know, they're skilled liars. They really are. They're very skilled liars. Go ahead, finish your point, Samuel.
You know, I've had friends that have been researching and with this whole Ukraine deal and how Trump's son and Pelosi's son and there's another guy.
Yeah, you mean Biden's son.
I'm sorry, I'm Biden's
yeah,
son. And
yeah, right,
Pelosi's
right.
Son involved with his company and how money has disappeared and Trump's just trying to root out this corruption.
Yeah. Kerry's son has been involved in this stuff too. Look, there's a bunch of them that have had their hands in the till. And by the way, it often involves taxpayer dollars, loan guarantees, and that kind of thing. And to me, far from apologizing for the president or saying, well, he shouldn't have done this, I think the president was absolutely right and within his authority to say, I want to get to the bottom of this. We don't want any vice president or person of high office sending their children to make millions or billions of dollars to enrich themselves on the political power and on the dollars that the United States of America, the taxpayers, are giving to these foreign entities. So please give me a break. He should, you know what? He should get a medal. He should be commended for having taken a stand and asked that important question, not impeached. And the only reason why they're doing this is because they're just afraid that he is going to win re-election. They couldn't accept the fact that he won election, and they can't stand the idea that he could win re-election, and they're going to do anything in their power to get rid of him. So we got to pray for the president, because I just don't put anything past these folks. I really don't. When you start talking about the election, if he is not removed, the election can't be trusted. I mean, to me, that is just one of the most despicable things I've ever heard a politician say. So, these people, they really need to go. So we need to pray for him, pray for our country, and vote these rascals out of office. Let's go to Janet in Illinois. Janet, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jackson. I love your show and your unashamed unembarrassed.
Right, unapologetic. Yes, thank you.
Yes. I think that the Democrats are projecting what they are planning to do in this election. I believe that they cheated in the election that Trump won, just not enough to win the election. And I believe that they are planning to disrupt the election. And I've listened to quite a few other programs online, and there is evidence that a gentleman by the name of Dennis Montgomery, he's an IT guy, he helped develop the surveillance platforms after 9/11, and he's very, very knowledgeable. And I was encouraged by this other speaker to contact the Justice Department and ask them to speak to this gentleman,
okay,
and find out what he knows, because they could easily get into the machines of various, you know, elections and disrupt the vote. So, you know,
all right, Janet, we're almost out of time. I want to get a couple more calls in, but I take your point, and I hope others take it seriously. We have to be vigilant, because I think you're right, Janet. I think you're absolutely right. I think that Adam Schiff is sending a signal that they're going to do something. I don't know what, but they're going to do something to try to undermine the American people's ability to re-elect the president, if that's what they choose to do, and get the outcome that they want. I do not put it past them at all. So, Janet, thank you for the call. Let's go to Kurt in Arkansas. Kurt, welcome. Kurt, you're on.
Hey, how are you on? I just want to make a simple point. If the Russians are socialists, right? Why are the Democrats saying that the Russians got involved in voting for Trump? Wouldn't the Russians want a socialist in our government as president?
Yeah, well, listen, the idea that Vladimir Putin would want President Donald Trump as president, you're right, is laughable, because President Trump is nobody's puppet. And the last thing Vladimir Putin wants is somebody in power who will stand up to him. So you're right. That idea, Kurt, is preposterous in the first place. Thanks for the call, Kurt. Let's get one more in. We got Shannon in Illinois. Shannon, welcome.
Hello.
Shannon, I don't think we are able to hear you. Try it again. Okay, I think we got a bad signal with Shannon. Thanks for trying. Call back again tomorrow, Shannon. We appreciate the call. Hey, listen, folks, I think you all have raised some very, very important points. One is, if they're really concerned about foreign interference, why is it that they don't want people to have voter ID before they vote so that we can make sure that illegal immigrants don't interfere with our election by voting? We know they're on the rolls. A friend of mine, Christian Adams, did a study here in Virginia and found in several states there were about 8,000 illegal immigrants registered to vote. So how about that? That was an excellent, brilliant point. And you're right. I think we better watch this election very closely, as well as being active and registering, because I think they want to do something. They're not going to succeed with impeachment, but I think they've got something up their sleeve that they think they can do to somehow overthrow the legitimate results of the election. So folks, we got to be praying and working. As my pastors say, pray like everything depends upon God and work like everything depends upon us. And remember this, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.